Please be seated. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is perhaps the most well-known piece of scripture in the world. It is used at funerals and at baptisms alike. I've had several meaningful conversations about Psalm 23. I remember talking with a friend of mine, Jack Streckfuss, who told me that what got him through World War II in the midst of the most difficult fighting was the Lord's Prayer in Psalm 23. I remember having a conversation with a gentleman about his daughters. He had several daughters. It made me think of you, Tom Beyer. It wasn't you that I had this conversation with, but you will appreciate this. The man had several daughters, and he said, "You know, I almost named my daughters Shirley, Goodness, and Mercy, so I could say to them, 'You will follow me all the days of my life.'" Likewise, I had a conversation with the gentleman who's a friend of a friend. I knew him from another congregation. I met him at a men's community breakfast, saw him at a men's community breakfast, and he came up to me and he said, "So, Padre, how's the flock?" And I was like, "Well, as far as I know, the flock's fine." And he says, "You know what really gets me, Padre?" He said, "Have you ever been around sheep? They are the dumbest animals in the world. The dumbest. I've been around sheep my whole life, and except for their wool, they are just about useless, if not mindless. And I don't know, but I don't like having my faith compared to being a sheep." Huh. Have you ever thought that? I get it. I do. It's not the first time that I've heard this particular sentiment or one close to it. In the general lexicon of our culture, being a sheep is a term of derision, right? Ah, they're just a bunch of sheep, mindlessly following their leader. We refer to people as sheepish, and while it's a less dismissive tenor, the image rendered is certainly not one of strength, is it? I believe what my friend was suggesting is that for him to be referred to as a sheep, even if it is in the context of his faith, was unflattering. But what he didn't say, at least what he was not willing to say, or at least explicitly say, is that I believe that what bothered him most is that it wasn't just being called a sheep, it was that Jesus, his Lord, his Savior, was the one who called him a sheep. And I get it. I do. When Jesus does those things that are outside of our comfort zone or outside of our preconceived notion and image of Him, it can be a little frustrating, if not a little confusing. In Psalm 23, as you just heard, Jesus calls himself our shepherd. In our gospel lesson today, he talks about his followers, you and me, as the sheep who hear his voice. They know and follow me, Jesus says. I give them eternal life, and no one will snatch them away from me. These words are quite powerful and life-giving, yet they also remind us that we are sheep. That we are sheep. You know, listening for the voice of the shepherd for a sheep is vital. It's vital to their well-being. It's vital. It's often the difference between suffering, pain, even death, and safety and security and life. In the days of Jesus, there were many shepherds, many flocks. And the terrain that they wandered through searching for an area to graze was often tenuous and dangerous. I remember witnessing this myself when I was in Israel. Many valleys and steep hills and other animals that pose a threat. And it was the voice of the shepherd that guided these shepherds through these sheep through their dangers. They would listen and follow him as he made sounds and changed the sounds to direct them and to keep them coming and following him. Our psalm brilliantly expresses this. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Is this verse, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that makes this such a popular psalm at funerals? But there is a beautiful sustenance for our living, for our life as well. I mean, embrace Psalm 23, not simply at your death, but embrace it in your life because it offers just as much for us. For brothers and sisters, how often do you feel that perhaps you're walking through a valley of death, through a trial, a tribulation, walking through a valley of doubt or shame, or sin, or brokenness, or suffering, or pain? The beautiful gift of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, the one who sees us as his sheep, but he sees us not as mindless or as dumb, but as humble, the ones who will listen intently and know that by listening to the voice of the shepherd that we can indeed find our way through the difficulty. Indeed, we are called sheep not because Jesus looks down on us, but because Jesus most fully loves us and values us and sees you as beloved. He calls us to follow him so that when we are facing our valleys, when we are facing those craggly struggles and pains and pathways that could potentially cause us harm, we are listening for his voice. That he continues to call out to us in the midst of our valleys and to lead us toward life and hope and promise and nourishment and safety. Knowing that to do that, our Lord will, and the voice of the Lord will seem at times like a rod and at times like a staff, is actually good news. Because sometimes to get the sheep going, the shepherd has to prod to move us from a place of malaise or uncertainty to a place of active following. The gospel comes to us like that sometimes. In college, my chaplain, Don Just, called me into his office one day. He sat me down and he said, "I just have one question for you, David. Who is your God? Those fraternity letters on your chest or that cross you wear around your neck? Because from where I'm sitting, I can't tell." Talk about a rod. I didn't speak to him for 2 weeks. I didn't. I avoided him because that's what mature 21-year-olds do, right? Finally, after talking to my dad and others, I made my way back to his office. And when I met him there, I told him that I was sorry for avoiding him, that I hadn't appreciated what he said, but I had thought about it, and I was here back to hear more. Guess what happened next? He grabbed me and hugged me. He said he was sorry if he had come across as overzealous, but that he loved me so much that he needed to speak truth to me in a moment where he felt like perhaps my path was not going the direction that he would have wanted it to go or that I ultimately would have wanted it to go. So then talk about a staff that served as grace and peace and corralled me and enveloped me into his love. You know, held properly in tension, this law and gospel, this rod and staff, if you will, can shape your life by the work of the shepherd into a deeper, fuller, and wider experience of Jesus. It allows you then to embrace this call to Jesus, even amidst your struggle and doubts. In Psalm 23, it reads, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And this is beautiful grace because it reminds us, as my preaching professor in seminary said, it does not read, "And as you go and pitch a tent in the valley of the shadow of death." No, you walk through it. Your struggles, your heartbreaks, your difficulties in life are infused with the never-ending voice of the good shepherd who can lead you through the difficult valleys and guide you into a place of nourishment and new life. Now, to be sure, listening for this voice in the midst of our difficulties can be difficult. Flocks of sheep, if you've ever seen them on a video or in a movie or on TV, flocks of sheep, different flocks will often gather at the same watering hole. And they listen for the voice of their shepherd who will walk in, say something, and only those sheep will leave. Yet, it's amazing that amidst all those various shepherding voices, sheep are trained to listen only for the voice of their shepherd. But at times, they get confused. And sheep will follow the wrong shepherd, just as we do. In our world, a cacophony of voices, enemy voices, if you will, clamor for your allegiance. Voices that would seek to supplant the good shepherd's voice. Voices that will insist upon allegiance to fear, or fear of the unknown, or the stranger. Voices that will insist upon allegiance to yourself and self-interest at all costs. Voices that will insist upon allegiance to any political ideology as the cure for all ills. Voices that will insist upon allegiance to the valleys of low self-esteem and addiction or brokenness. Why? Because too often, for so many of us, pitching our tent in the valley of the shadow of death seems easier than the work of trudging forward out of there. Voices that will insist upon allegiance to your own ability and your own reason to figure it out, and you don't need anybody else, much less Jesus. Have you heard those voices in your life? Have you listened to those voices in your life? They compete with the voice of the shepherd, and if I am any indication of the rest of you, well, then I listen to those voices a little more than I would like to admit. But I've been heartened. You know, I've been heartened and graced by how I've watched people in my life stay attuned to the voice of Jesus through the valleys and dangers of their lives, whether it was an illness or a disease or divorce or losing their job or problems and difficulties experienced by the children that they love. And the beauty of Psalm 23 is this, is that it understands that as well. It understands that there is a struggle to listen to and listen for the voice of Jesus in our lives. Nowhere in the Psalm, brothers and sisters, or in Jesus' words and scriptures, for that matter, do we get any assurance that simply by listening for and listening to and following the voice of our shepherd, that we will become immune to suffering and the presence of enemies. Nowhere does it say that. But the brilliance of what Jesus offers and the brilliance of Psalm 23 and why it is not simply a funeral psalm, but one for everyday life, is that while we are not removed from the suffering and the pain of life, we are graciously and audaciously and beautifully given help to live it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. My Father says, when he images that in his head, he images it as if this army of enemies are coming at us, and in the confidence and power of Jesus Christ, we sit there at our table, stare our enemies, stare those dangers right in the face, in the confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and drink our overabundant cup, and look there with pride and nourishment, knowing there's nothing that you can do that can ever take down and take me down, because I am sitting here in the beautiful grace of Jesus. The confidence of faith that in the face of your enemies, you sit there dining as if it's a feast, knowing there's nothing that you can do, even if you take my life. Amidst tragedy, amidst pain, amidst losing our way, amidst ending up in a valley through no fault of your own, the shepherd's voice continues to speak. And in doing so, it prepares a table of grace for you, so that you can face any enemy, any struggle, any pain within the confidence and the hope of the one who will continually overflow your heart and your lives with strength, comfort, and grace. For in the valley of the shadow of death and in the presence of enemy voices, our Lord has anointed you with a baptismal cross that adorns you forever, placing you always in the hands of the merciful and forgiving God. In the valley of the shadow of death and in the presence of whatever enemy voices are before you, our Lord will meet you in the overflowing grace of the table and everyday ongoing nourishment expressed in prayer and community. In the valley of the shadow of death and in the presence of enemy voices, our Lord will supplant your tragedy. Our Lord will reverse your pain with goodness and mercy. And he promises you that your home is always with the Lord. Now, tomorrow, and forever. In the still waters and the green pastures of his abiding and amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen.